Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's just always wonderful to see you people. And of course, as always, I have great news for you. There is a power in the universe, a power for good in the universe, that you can all use. You can use that power for good because you're one with that power of good. And when you learn that you're one with that power of good, and you learn how to use that power of good, you will become unlimited. And that's the great news. So with that said, I will start, as I always do, with spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to affirm or reaffirm what the universe, or this thing we call God, already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I am absolutely delighted to know that I am one. I am one with the universe. I am one with this thing called God. And because I am one with this thing called God, I know that God is able to bring into my life money, prosperity, and abundance. So I move myself out of the way. I no longer have any doubts whatsoever that this is not true. And I let that be so. And so it is.
So it is.
I want to talk a moment because last week we talked about money. And I would like to remind everyone that that is what this course is. It's called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. The whole idea of this class is to show you how to bring money into your lives, how to prosper, and how to see the abundance in life. This young man sitting beside me, if anyone remembers him, he used to look awful. And now he looks prosperous and abundant. And he's used these techniques to get this, have you not? So we know that it works. The other reason why I'm bringing it up, because many people think that money has nothing to do with God, that money is outside of God. I'm here to tell you that money is not outside of God. There's nothing outside of God. You can't have God and money. You can have God as money. The same as you can have God as anything. There is not a separation there. Many people believe that money is dirty, is evil, and that we shouldn't talk about it because it's just not polite. It's like I was taught as a child, you never talk about politics or religion. I failed on the religious part. I talk about religion all the time. But I would like to make that absolutely clear, that you cannot separate yourself from God. You cannot separate your money from God. We are not here to learn separation of any kind. We are here to do unity and only unity. That's what we do here. So you have to know that when I talk about money, I'm not being sacrilegious at all. Years ago, Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, stood up at a conference and said, "Poverty is a sin," which goes against all brand name religions, because somebody read in the Bible that God loves the poor. God loves everybody. God just doesn't love the poor. God loves everybody. And it is a sin to be poor. Because if you are not able to demonstrate prosperity and abundance and money in your life, you are not demonstrating God. Therefore, your God is not working for you. You were not put here to suffer in any way. You were here to lift the blinders that you have on yourself and see the abundance and see the prosperity and be able to draw money into your life. The reason people do not draw money into their lives or anything else into their lives is because they don't believe that they are worthy of it. They do not believe that they deserve that. And they do not believe they're lovable enough to obtain what they want in life. Please change your minds about that. That is a belief system. You may have heard that at home. You grew up learning all kinds of things at home, which as you grew up, you realized were not the truth of the matter. How many people heard money does not grow on trees? Who do you think you are? We're not rich, you know. Now, I want to tell you that aunt that I talk about, the 93-year-old, who is terrific metaphysically. She doesn't know that because I don't think she even knows what metaphysics is. But she's figured out a system. And her system is she's able to choose her thoughts. But she can only choose her thoughts up to a point. The other day when I talked to her on the phone, she said to me, we were talking about something, and she said to me, I just don't understand why some people have all the money and other people don't. That's a belief system that we grew up with. They're from that side of the track, I'm from this side of the track. They were born wealthy, they will never have wealth. How many people hear the expression, oh, that's new money and that's old money? You know. It's all money. But you have to realize that it's all God. It's all God. And this thing that we call God, this thing that we call the universe, wants you to have it. There's nothing. Yes?
So this, the part about the sin thing, I'm not understanding. Did I hear you right? Because I didn't.
Oh,
did
it's
that
a
race mine or?
Oh, he just
sin
said.
I'm like, I thought we weren't doing the sin thing.
Well, we're not doing the sin thing. And okay. When I use the word sin, sin is a term that was put in the King James Version of the Bible when it was rewritten. And sin is an archery term meaning to miss the mark. That is all sin means, is to miss the mark. It has no connotation that religion would say it has, you see. We are not sinners, and we are not sinful people. And that's the whole basis of things. You have to change your mind about that. You have to change your mind that you were born into sin. You weren't born into sin. What were you born into? Abundance, prosperity, and money. You were born into those things. But you're taught that you weren't born into that, and you were taught that you weren't worthy of that, and you were taught that you had to do something very special to get that. What you have to do in life to get what you want is change your mind about yourself. When you do prayer, you're not changing the mind of God. You're changing your own mind. You're making a statement that is true. You cannot change the mind of God. You could only change your mind about yourself. So when you hear that within you, there's a voice that tells you, don't get too big, don't get too smart, don't do this to me. You have to ignore that. You have to silence that voice so that you can hear the other voice inside of you that says, oh, geez, you're worthy. You're absolutely lovable. You're absolutely deserving. And I love you more than you'll ever understand. And I want to give you everything. I think it's John 24 who says, fear not, little flock, for it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that kingdom is the kingdom of what? It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of everything, the kingdom of the universe. It's peace of mind, it's prosperity, it's abundance. We live here on this wonderful, wonderful planet that's absolutely abundant with everything. And yet we pretend that there's no abundance going on anywhere. And there's abundance everywhere. And that is the whole idea, is to learn to see the abundance. If you want money, you have to learn to see money. If you want money, you have to learn to hold money, to respect money, to smell money.
How do you smell money?
You take it out of your wallet and smell it.
Even the coins?
Yes, anything. And you sleep with money.
Under your pillow?
Well, I sleep with it right next to my bed always. I do. Come in.
I'm here.
Well, do a pillow.
Take this.
Are you sure?
I'm so sure.
Okay.
She loves to sit on.
I love the pillow. I know what that means.
Grounded.
So you have to get interested in money. And you have to do that. The same as you want anything in your life to come into your life, you have to get interested in it. And you have to focus on that. And then it will come into your life. All right, with that said, is there any questions about that? Are people clear now? Because we're going to talk about money all the time. That's what this place is all about. Now, I go off on different subjects and so forth, but it's always to bring you to a point of what? A point of knowing that you're worthy, that you're deserving, you see. When I had a church, when I had subjects, if I wanted to fill the church, I would put out a bulletin, I was going to talk about sex that week. Then the whole church would fill up. But you see, you have to realize that sex also is God. You can't have God and sex. You can have sex as God.
That's great.
Yes. So if you know that, you can do it. The money, you can do anything. When we talk about all these different things and we can do all the different avenues and so forth, but it's always one power that's bringing everything to you. That's why I tell you, if you're able to manifest the parking spot, you're able to manifest anything in your life. But your mind says, oh, that's easy. This is difficult. I can manifest $10, but I can't manifest $100. I can't manifest $1,000. In the mind of God, there are no zeros. There are no zeros. God doesn't know zeros. So if you want $1 or $1,000,000, it's the same. Now, why don't you get the $1,000,000? You haven't brought your consciousness to that point where you feel that you deserve that $1,000,000. You see. And most people, when you say you can have the $1,000,000, what do they think of right away? Oh my God, look how much I'll have to pay in taxes. Yes. But most people are worried about that, the wrong thing. Don't worry about that. You could always pay your taxes. Make the money. Do what you want in life. Get that. Alright? Alright.
Yeah, I do have a question. So, and I missed the first, so you might have already addressed it, but the manifesting parking spaces, I'm great at it. I can do it pretty much 99.9% of the time, as long as I do it like a few minutes before I get there. I just see it in my mind. Think of it for a moment, just a moment. I don't meditate on nothing else. I just think of it. I ask for it, and it's there. It's very simple. Shows up within, you know, when I'm there. Okay, if I do that with money, which I do, I practice, it doesn't show up 5 minutes later, you know, and it doesn't show up 10 minutes later. And sometimes it does show up, and sometimes it doesn't. So I then tend to think I must be doing something different the times it's showing up versus the times it's not showing up, but I'm not sure about that.
You're not doing anything different. The idea is that you have manifested the parking space, so that was easy for you, and you know that. But when you think about money, you think it's a little bit more difficult. Any time that you want to manifest anything, you just have to know that you can do it. It's in the knowing.
So what if you don't know, how do you make yourself?
Aha, you have to keep doing it. You have to bring yourself to that point of knowing. You always must bring yourself to the point of knowing. You see, we are able to believe and think anything we want. therein lies the choice. There's the volition you have. There's the freedom that you have as an individualized expression of the one mind or the one life. You have the choice. So I want to think that. So if I were but you, I would say, look, I can do this. I can manifest the parking spot. Therefore, I can manifest anything in my life. And I want it now. I am tired of waiting.
Oh, I never say that part.
Well, of course, nobody does because everyone's timid in front of God. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. You do not have to be timid in front of God. As I will tell you, everyone says God is mighty. I'm telling you that God is not only mighty, God is useful. Start using God. Use God up one side and down the other. And you see, that frightens most people because you're supposed to go to God on bended knees and be very reverent and so forth. Who said that? You know. Does anyone remember what the highest form of worship you can give God?
Love yourself.
The highest form of worship is to love yourself. Why is that?
All that we are is God, but we are not all that God is.
See? Look at this. From rags to riches. It's true. You have to remember that at every minute. You have to remember when you think God thinks.
Oh, no.
That's why you learn to change your thinking. So that you can learn to think God thoughts after it. That's what this is about, is learning to think God thoughts after it. There is only one mind. There's only one life. That mind and life is the life of God. And we have to be some part of that life. The Creator and the creation are one in the same place. And that's where people run into trouble, because immediately they back off from that because you have been taught, how dare you think of yourself like that. Please start thinking of yourself like that. It's the life of God that's running through you. What else do you think would be running through you? You know? No one knows what life really is. No one knows how your heart starts. No one knows anything. We just think we know a lot of stuff. We will never know the whole thing. We will know bits and pieces, and we learn more and more. But remember, you have to immediately, when you're doing a treatment or an affirmation, you have to realize that you are one with God. That is where it starts. That is why you're able to manifest, because you know that you're one with God. And God can manifest anything. You see? So you're using that. You're using that power, that invisible power, that vibration, that energy. You see? All right. So tonight, we're starting on the thing itself. I'm doing the first four chapters of the Science of Mind book by Ernest Holmes, because a young lady in the class asked me why I don't do that, and if I didn't, she was going off to another class to learn. Well, she may not have said it quite like that. I'm always teaching metaphysics here, people. And I'm always teaching metaphysics from the Ernest Holmes metaphysical book called The Science of Mind. We can go off on many different little things, and we can read many different books. I love Emmett Fox. I love Joel Goldsmith. But the foundation that I work with is always Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind. That never changes. That's a metaphysical book. You can read every book up and down the library on metaphysics, but you have to know the Science of Mind, because the rest of the books are going to leave something out. Ernest Holmes does not leave something out. The only difficulty with Ernest Holmes is his writing style is a little antiquated. And the way he expresses himself sometimes is a little convoluted, but once you figure that all out, you make it simple. So anyway, we will do that for these first four chapters, simply because that's back to basics again, and you're going to learn something from it. It never hurts to go back. You see, everyone wants that next book, that next step. Oh, if I just take, oh, that's going to be the answer. That's going to be the answer. The answer is at the beginning. You see, remember, if you don't know the mental equivalent, it's very difficult to do metaphysics. But most people don't even know that that little book exists called the mental equivalent. So learn that up one side and down the other, that little book. It's only what? A couple pages, how many?
12.
12. Oh, it's more than 12, I think.
It's like 40 small pages.
Yes. And Andy has done CDs, right? Are they called CDs?
Yeah, we do have an audio CD as well.
Yes, which is very good if you want to listen to it that way. And I've listened to that. I think it's wonderful because he goes back and forth with a girl that used to be here, Audra, and the voices going back and forth. So it's a wonderful, they did a wonderful taping of that. So let's start and talk about the thing itself. When we mention the thing itself, we're talking about this life force. We're talking about this energy. And we're doing it in a different way from brand name religions, because we realize in metaphysics that God is not anthropomorphic. God does not look like us. You see, God does not have a face. That's why it says no one will ever see the face of God. People think that's because he hides somewhere, or you can't see the face of God, or you'll go blind, you know. Well, you can't see the face of God because God does not have a face. If you want to see the face of God, look around this room. Each and every face here is the face of God. You have to realize that. And you have to know that you're an individualized expression of that thing that we call God, or the thing itself. The ancients always referred to God as no thing, because God is no thing, but God is everything. See? The reason why that is important to realize is because we're talking about something that's infinite. So we just have to know that that is infinite, and we will never, regardless if we live 1 trillion years, we will never be able to encompass God. You see, we will never be able to do that. But we'll be able to learn more and more and more. Now, in science, there are many laws and many principles applied, but we don't see most of those laws. Does anyone see the law of gravity? Does anyone see the law of aerodynamics? The weak force, the strong force? We don't see those things. We take those for granted because some scientist said to us, oh, this works. Now, how do they know that works? Because they see the result, you see. And that's why we demonstrate. That's why we manifest things, to see the result. And when we see the result, we've demonstrated God, you see. Now, God, we know, is all love. That we know. And if we don't know it, just take that for granted. Just make your mind up that that's the way that is. But God is also law. And when we use the word law, we mean the law of cause and effect. And this thing, this love, this God, must always operate through the law. even though God and the law are one and the same thing, God must work through the law the same way we must work through the law. We must always be aware of the law of cause and effect. We cannot see it, but it's an immutable law of the universe, the law of cause and effect. And it works every time. Now, all over this planet and all over the universe, things work the same. Look at arithmetic or mathematics, I guess they call it. 2 and 2 is always going to equal 4. Anywhere on this planet. Anywhere on this planet. So we know that. Do you realize that when you mix colors, what is it? Yellow and green. What does yellow and green make?
Yellow and blue,
that makes like green. Not nice.
Yellow and green would make chartreuse.
Oh, well, whatever. Yes. But you see, anybody who uses that, it has to work all, it doesn't work for everybody the same? It doesn't change. It doesn't change. It always is the same for everybody. All over the world, all over the universe. But there's not one person that knows why. Why doesn't it go red? Why doesn't this happen? Because there's a law involved. There's always order involved in something. So we don't know that, but we take that for granted, don't we? That works. So you have to take for granted that there's a law called the law of cause and effect. And that we're always using the law of cause and effect when we think. When we think always into the law of cause and effect. And then, if you hold your attention there, your emotions there, everything on that, it has to manifest itself. That is an immutable law of the universe, and it works every time. You know it works because you can manifest a parking spot. You thought that consciously, right? And it dropped right down into the subjective mind or the unconscious mind. The subjective mind or the unconscious mind is connected to the law of cause and effect, which happens to be the mind of God. And when it drops in there and you hold that, it must manifest itself. That is an immutable law of the universe. We are not taught that in school. We are not taught that in universities. You are not taught that by the world, because the world would like you to think that you are plop down here on this plane of action just to take whatever comes. And you're not. You're not. That is not the divine plan. The divine plan for you and for me and for everybody is freedom. Is freedom. And that freedom means the freedom to choose what you want in life and to be able to have what you want in life. And you use your conscious mind, or what we call the objective mind, and we drop that down into the subjective mind. Your conscious mind always gives the orders to the subjective mind, or what we call the unconscious mind, always gives the orders. And that part of your mind takes that order right away and goes about doing something. It doesn't say, are you sure that's what you want? It asks no questions. It's your obedient servant. And it's in each and every one of us. It's in each and every every one of us. So the law of cause and effect, which is also outside of you, is also inside of you, in your own mind. So the whole idea is what? Learning how to control your thinking so that you can get what you want from life, and not allowing the ego part of your mind to talk you out of it, and not allowing your friends to talk you out of it. And I'm telling you, if the ego mind doesn't do it, you open your mouth to a friend and they will take it from you. You see, don't do that. I never tell anyone anything I'm up to. You know, people say, we don't know much about you, Dallas. I suggest, and you never will. You know, I don't have to share it with people. I don't have to share that. That's the whole idea of going into your closet. In the silence you pray. In the silence you ask for something. And as soon as you ask for it, you have to know that it's done. It's in the knowing. But you must bring yourself to that point of knowing. I have some cards. At the very beginning of the book, Science of Mind, is this. These lessons are dedicated to that truth which frees man from himself. You see, we're always freeing ourselves from our own thinking, from our own mind. We're not freeing ourselves from the mind of God, or we're not trying to get away from God, because we know that we are one with that power, and that power wants only good for us. We are the ones who do everything to ourselves. Frees man from himself and sets him on the pathway of a new experience, which enables him to see through the mist to the eternal and changeless reality, so that you see God everywhere. When I have clients that come to me, I let them do all the talking. And as they're doing the talking, I just sit there sometimes and say nothing. And I wait for God to peek out from the person. Because God's in there. And I wait to get a glimpse of that. Because God is going to peek out at you. You have to see that. And you have to look. And how many times do you see a flash of that in somebody? You have to see it more often. But God is always going to be peeking out. Say, oh, what's going on there? Because that what we think is real is just a story we've made up. We'll get into that later. All right. You mold your own life destiny day by day, entirely by the manner in which you mentally relate to experiences as they come. We're always relating to everything that comes. Somebody says something and we immediately say, oh, they hate me. But then I should have known that the whole world hates me. And then we just go into that instead of, it means nothing. You know, it means nothing. Remember the old thing, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Yet we allow words to hurt us all the time because the ego says, oh, that person shouldn't have said that. That person was mean to you. That person was this. That person was that. In those cases, you really have to see God peeking out. And you have to find that God in that person. And you have to realize that you're never the target. When somebody says something to you, you're never the target. You just happen to be in the way. You just happen to be in the way. You're not the target. And when somebody's mean and hateful or whatever they're doing to you, it's a call for love. It's a call for love. Everyone wants to be loved. Everybody. Even those people who say they're in love want to be loved. And want to be loved more. This one I love. Right reaction is a supreme art of life. Right reaction to something. See, how many people remember what the question, you know that, Andy. What are the things you always ask somebody? Especially if you're dating them.
Oh, do you know that you realize that you're 100% responsible for your actions? And then you should ask them, are you 100% responsible? Do you realize that you're also 100% responsible for your reactions?
You'd think most people will say, yes, I know I'm responsible for my actions. But they will not take their 100% responsible for the reaction, because they'll say, but I didn't do that. You made me do that. That caused me to do that. The traffic made me explode. You're saying? You have to know that you're absolutely responsible for your actions and your reactions to things. The supreme art of life is learning to react to things the way you want to react to them. If you just react like that to something, you're not in control of your life. And your ego mind will immediately justify anything you do. Any reaction you have, your ego mind will say, well, they deserve that because they did this, this, and this. You're saying? Now, let's look at that a moment. When we say that person deserved it, what are we doing? God is peeking out. We're saying that to God. You caused me to do that.
So how? What would you say?
What would I say?
I mean, if someone did something that you didn't like.
What would I say?
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're in a relationship and they've done something that you don't really like, you know, did some crazy stuff, you're supposed to see the God peeking out of them. And you're going, you're being God right now while you're cheating on me. That's so godly of you.
I would say, geez, you're making the wrong choices here.
Okay.
You see. And I would tell them, you know, when you say something like that to me, this is what it does to me. You see. But I'm taking responsibility for what it does to me, but I'm telling you what it does to me. And it's not nice. So cut it out.
And it's also an observation, because it's like, you know, you could get mad, but just knowing that was your choice, you were responsible for getting mad, that you were you did that, not they didn't do that to you. That was your choice.
Is there ever any accountability for somebody that, if somebody does something really wrong, whether it be cheating or in a business deal, or whether stabbing someone, is there any accountability there for any of that?
No.
How do you handle that?
Do you handle that? Because you have to separate the person from the act. We hate the act that they did, but we never hate the person.
There's consequences.
There's consequences for them, simply because they live in this society that we live in. And simply because of the law and cause and effect is going to come back and do something. But that's, you know, if you want to get into karma and all that. See, in religious science, karma is instant. We don't wait 100 years for it to come back and bite us. We do it immediately and get it over with. to say. But what, see, the mind wants to say they're accountable for something. The culture we live in, the society we live in, always wants to punish. The world punishes all the time. It always wants to punish. You see? Mm-hmm. But we have to get above that. After you're in this teaching long enough, and all these things that you're talking about will never happen to you. That happens to the world. You no longer live in the world. You have to remember that you're in this world, not of this world. And you let that race mind thing go. Let them out there fight and pick apart each other. But you'll have people in your life that don't do that. You'll have people in your life that don't cheat on you. You're saved. Now, we could get into that, but it'd be better not.
Can I make a comment on that?
Cheating?
Well, on people in your life, that as this teaching takes hold, you may find temporarily that you have less and less of those people in your life, and of any people in your life, until you rediscover people that are more in line with what is. So there's a period of adjustment. There was for me. I won't say there will be for everybody, but there was for me a period of adjustment where I had less and less and less association with all the people that I thought I knew and loved. But I see now why, because they were trouble.
Trouble. Right here in River City.
Capital T, and it rhymes with P, and it stands for
trouble. But that is what happens. Different people come into your life. Now, that doesn't always happen. But the people will change if they're around you. I have drug everyone with me. Very few people have I left behind that I was friends with. But they have changed and they see the difference and so forth. But some people, yes. You have to remember that people come into your life to go out of your life. Some people are a blessing when they come in, and they're even a bigger blessing when they go out. You know. You don't need them around anymore.
Is part of that changing because as you react and take 100% responsibility for your actions, you are obviously reacting differently to people.
Yes.
They react to that reaction. And so it changes people in that way.
Yes.
Isn't it right? So then that's
right.
That's how I guess we become surrounded by people who are more
Yes. Like because what happens in the world out there, a race mind out there is if we do like for like. If somebody attacks us, we attack them back. And that just keeps the thing going. And the world says that's all right. We have to do that. Why do you think we're in these wars and so forth? I was coming across tonight to the class, and it suddenly dawned on me, in my lifetime, I was born in World War II. And there's been a war going on ever since. In my lifetime, there's been one war after the other. That has to stop. And it's simply because we feel we have to get back at somebody. And we feel that they are separated from us. And they are not separated from us at all. You see, that's the whole idea of not judging by appearances. When you kill somebody, you're killing God. And yet we have a big thing that says in God we trust everywhere, and we go out and do this stuff. You see, the whole concept, and here I go, whole concept of Christianity went out the window as soon as they raised the first sword for the Crusades. And that, how many thousands of years ago, and they're still fighting that same war. The weapons have changed. That is all that has changed. We have to change our minds. We have to see peace. I love those bumper stickers that says visualize peace. We have to start visualizing peace. We have to start knowing that peace is absolutely possible. Earlier I said, Charles Fillmore stood up and said, poverty is a sin. There was another lady, and I don't remember her name now, at one of the conferences, and when I talk about these conferences, we're talking like 1938 or something. I wasn't there. She stood up and said, during World War II, there is no war in the mind of God. And there is no war in the mind of God. War is in the human mind, that finite part of us. We're the ones that are doing that. By the way, I want to comment. You, I see a complete change in your, in you.
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Look, you're smiling.
I'm always smiling. I'm not here, though. Not here. If I stop smiling, people say, what's wrong with you? You know, so I try not to.
Yeah, but you just sit over there. I see.
Pay attention.
I see a change, and it's wonderful. You see, I can see God peeking out.
Oh, gosh, you got to put it back.
And that's what we want to see with everybody here. And I see the changes in everyone. Look at the change. This is remarkable. It's remarkable. Weren't you $20,000 in debt?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you out of that?
Completely.
It works, people. It works. All right, let's get back. You mold your own life destiny day by day, entirely by the manner in which you... Oh, I read that. Sorry. You write your own history for tomorrow and next year by the thoughts that you entertain today. The thoughts that you entertain today. I thought, last week I think I said, the reason why we're not making the money and don't have the money that we want is because we still believe in poverty. We have a belief in poverty. You see, you can't have something dual going on inside of your mind. You can't say, think wealth and believe in poverty. And you can say, oh, well, it's out there, it's everywhere. Well, don't look at it. Ignore it. It has to go away. You see, everything that we put our attention on, we breathe life into. We are the creators of our own reality and of our own world. And we breathe life into all our thoughts and so forth by putting attention on it. So if you put attention on wealth, instead of poverty, you're going to start to see wealth, and wealth is going to start to come into your life. You have to give up that belief. So this thing itself, this thing that we call God, wants you to have everything and is capable of giving you everything. But you have to start seeing that and believing that for yourself. And it will work every time for you. It will work every time for you. This law that we call the law of cause and effect does not respect individuals. It does not respect individuals. If it respected an individual, one person would have more power than another person. That's why we say the universe does not show favorites. That's why we also know, since the law of cause and effect does not show favorites, we are able to do exactly what this man they call Jesus Christ was able to do. And of course, that teacher taught, you can do this and greater things. And then you went to a brand name church and they told you, no, that's not right. As they held up that little black book they call the Bible and said, every word in here is the truth, except those words. Twaddle, people. Don't listen to it. You have to learn to think for yourself. Science of mind does not teach you what to think. It teaches you how to think. And how do we think? We start with that premise that we are one with God, that the Creator and the creation are one in the same thing, and that we are made in the image and likeness of God, inwardly. So then we know that when you think or I think, God thinks. When I use my mind, I'm using the mind of God. There can only be one mind. Is anyone confused about that? Who said a little? All right. I will prove to you that there's only one mind. If there were more than one mind, we wouldn't all be seeing the same thing.
But do we all see the same thing?
We all see the same thing. We interpret it differently.
You see it from a different perspective.
We see it from a different perspective, but we all see the same thing. If there was a different mind, we wouldn't be able to see the same thing. You would be seeing something completely different. But there's only one mind. So bring yourself to that point. Just accept that the way colors, whether the colors that match, green and red, or whatever it is.
Blue and yellow makes green.
Blue and yellow makes green. And you accept that immediately.
Because I've seen it happen.
Aha! You've seen it happen, but you don't know how it happens. The wisest man on earth has no idea how that happens.
Well, I know that light reflects off of certain things in certain rays.
But you, yes, you may know all that. But you don't know how it happens.
I just see the result.
You see the result. And that's all you're ever going to see about God, is you're going to see the result. And that's what you're going to learn about the law of cause and effect. It just... know that it's there, like gravity, that you can use that, but you will never see it, but you will see the result, you will see the end product, because you're always impressing mind. You're actually building a mold. Is that right? Mold. It sounded like mold from all of them.
Same spelling.
Thank you. You're actually doing that. You're building. And then this material that we call God fills that. And what fills the mold? Once the mold is filled, it takes flesh and dwells among us.
And the mold is, can you say, mold is thought?
Mold is thought. And you use your conscious mind or your objective mind to control your unconscious mind or your subjective mind.
Can you bring your subconscious mind into the conscious?
Yes, you can. You see, we say there's two different phases, I should say. See, there's only ever one mind. But in order to talk about different things, we always have to divide it up somehow.
Because we're all
different. Pardon?
No, not because we're all divided, because we're all different.
We're not divided, we're individualized expressions of the one mind. And you have no more God than I have. You have no more soul than I have. You have no more spirit than I have. Give up that idea that you need more of God. You have all the God you need. You're just not using it. You have limited God. Stop doing that. God is unlimited. Start seeing yourself as unlimited. You're saying? And that will. Now, do you know that you're not your mind?
Yes. That's a hard one.
All right. Do you know you're not your body?
I know that.
Did I tell you once before I was in a class and I said to a girl, well, you know you're not your body. She said, well, yes. And I said, you know you're not your mind. She said, no, I think I'm my hair. A little fame.
Los Angeles.
Yes. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Does that help you? See, you're using your mind. That's just a vehicle that we're using. It's like consciousness. Does anyone know where consciousness is? Has anyone seen consciousness lately? You see, we think consciousness resides in here. Consciousness, no one knows where consciousness resides. Because consciousness is all around us. If we want to do that, then that's we can make the statement. We live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. We live, move, and have our being in the consciousness of God. We do not see it. We do not know where it is. We only know how to use it. You see? And that is the thing you have to learn. That it's all right not to know these things. As long as you can use it. And you can use it. To bring anything you want into your life. So, anyway, God always is love and God and works through, of course, the law and must work through this law of cause and effect. And you use this law of cause and effect when you think. And you use it constantly. So, how many people here know enough to tell themselves good things? How many people here are still doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me? And you laugh. Are you doing it? You laugh because it makes you feel uncomfortable?
No, it just sounds silly.
That makes you feel uncomfortable. You have to be able to say to yourself, wonderful, wonderful me. You have to be able to look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. I am handsome, without snickering. You have to be able to do that because why? You're looking at God. You're looking at God. Your mind or somebody else told you that you weren't wonderful or told you that you didn't look quite right. Oh, it's just my favorite. Let me tell you this one. My favorite joke. Does anyone remember Madam? The puppet Madam?
Yeah.
Waylon Flowers. And Waylon Flowers, by the way, was a metaphysician. He went to the Hollywood Church of Religious Science. But anyway, Madam was in a bar. And she's sitting there in a bar, and a man says to her, Madam, are you giving me a funny look? She looked at him and she said, sir, you have a funny look, but I did not give it to you. I love that one. All right. Let me do this one. The mind which we discover within us is the mind that governs everything. This is the thing itself. And we should recognize its simplicity. Very easy. This teaching is absolutely easy. And it's absolutely wonderful. So are you, so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.